And now, the KHMB Feature Story of the Week. A look at people and events making a difference on the coastside.
The KHMB Feature Story of the Week is brought to you by the all-new Granola's Coffee House, located on Highway 1 next to BK Motors in Half Moon Bay. Granola's Coffee House, featuring specialty coffees, fresh baked goods, and free Wi-Fi.
As we greet the new year, we note the passing of our oldest living president, Jimmy Carter. There have been many tributes to our 39th president, but we were particularly impressed by the following podcast, courtesy of The World and Everything in It, produced by World Radio. The World and Everything in It is an entertaining and informative production, and we invite you to learn more by visiting WNG.org.
America's 39th president has died. Jimmy Carter was 100. He died at his home in Plains, Georgia. His death coming a little more than 13 months after the death of his wife, Rosalynn. World's Lindsay Mast has this remembrance of the former president.
James Earl Carter Jr. was born near the tiny South Georgia town of Plains in October 1924. His father was a businessman, his mother a nurse. The ambitious younger Carter graduated from the U.S. Naval Academy in 1946 and married Rosalynn Smith the same year. Carter worked on the Navy's first nuclear-powered submarines, but he retired and moved home to Plains in the 1950s after his father died. Carter served on the local school board and in the state Senate before he was elected Georgia's governor in 1970. His first words as governor dealt with discrimination. They took many of his supporters by surprise and set the stage for his rise to national prominence. Audio here from his gubernatorial inaugural speech.
At the end of a long campaign, I believe I know our people of this state as well as anyone could. Based on this knowledge, I say to you quite frankly that the time for racial discrimination is over.
Carter gained a national reputation for his views on race in the Deep South. Still, he was a long-shot candidate in the 1976 race against then-President Gerald Ford. Carter boldly professed his Christian faith on the campaign trail, but held strict views about the separation of church and state. He helped bring the term born again into the common vernacular when he used the term to refer to himself. Carter spoke of his faith during his inauguration.
And I have just taken the oath of office on the Bible my mother gave me just a few years ago, opened to a timeless admonition from the ancient prophet Micah. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God.
In both domestic and foreign policy, Carter prioritized human rights. He appointed record numbers of minorities to government jobs. He also established the U.S. Departments of Energy and Education. A hallmark of his presidency came in 1978. He brokered a peace treaty between Egyptian President Anwar Sadat and Israeli Prime Minister Menachem Begin.
One of the agreements that President Sadat and Prime Minister Begin are signing tonight is entitled A Framework for Peace in the Middle East.
More than four decades on, the Camp David Accords still stand. Despite that success, domestic issues like inflation, rising fuel prices, and a recession all took a toll on Carter's political career. Audio here during a period of gas rationing from WPIX.
This is unreal. Isn't this disgusting? Why doesn't anybody contact the president? Why is he letting this happen to us?
His final year in office was largely dominated by the Iranian hostage crisis. After the Ayatollah Ruhollah Khomeini seized power, Carter allowed Iran's overthrown Shah into the U.S. In November 1979, student militants took more than 50 Americans hostage from the U.S. Embassy in Tehran. Carter greenlit a rescue attempt in which eight American military members died. His popularity plunged. He ultimately negotiated a release, but it didn't come in time to help him retain the presidency. He lost the 1980 election. Iran freed the hostages the day he left office in 1981.
The new president had not been in office an hour when the former hostages became free men and women again.
The Carters moved home to Plains, Georgia. They sold the family peanut farm and began writing. Carter's body of work includes more than 30 books, including memoirs, fiction, and collections of writing on his faith. Carter's beliefs did not always align with Christian orthodoxy. He did not believe the doctrine of biblical inerrancy and supported female clergy. He renounced his affiliation with the Southern Baptist Convention twice. In his later life, Carter also voiced his increased acceptance of the practice of homosexuality. But he continued to tell people about the gospel. He regularly taught Sunday school at Maranatha Baptist Church in Plains. Audio here from the last class he taught in 2019, shortly after he turned 95.
But I have confidence that there is a God, that He's all-powerful, that He keeps His promises, and He's promised us life after death. And also, I'm a Christian, and I believe in Jesus Christ, having been raised from the dead. And if Jesus Christ was, Jesus told us that we could also be raised from the dead.
In those last years, hundreds of visitors of various religions, or sometimes no religion at all, arrived each week to attend his class and get a picture with Carter, his niece, Kim Carter Fuller.
He's standing up here letting you know how much the love of Christ has impacted the way that he lives. And it made people feel that, okay, if the former leader of the free world can let Christ do that for him, then why I can let him do it for me too.
Carter also spent his post-presidency years on global humanitarian efforts. In 1982, he and Rosalind founded the Carter Center in Atlanta to help resolve conflicts and work for human rights worldwide. The center's work has helped to nearly eradicate guinea worm disease. The Carters also became heavily involved with Habitat for Humanity. In 1999, the Carters received the Presidential Medal of Freedom. In 2002, Carter won the Nobel Peace Prize for his humanitarian and diplomatic work.
War may sometimes be a necessary evil, but no matter how necessary, it is always evil, never a good. We will not learn how to live together in peace by killing each other's children.
Carter survived melanoma and a series of falls before entering hospice care in early 2023. His wife, Rosalind, died last November. Carter is survived by 4 adult children and more than 20 grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Reporting for World, I'm Lindsay Mast in Plains, Georgia.
Next up on The World and Everything In It, remembering notable inventors and innovators. Here now is World reporter Mary Muncy.
First up, Bill Post, the inventor of a middle schooler's favorite breakfast.
In the morning, eat him in the evening, Kellogg's, Pop-Tarts.
Post was a baker in the 60s when he got a call from Kellogg. In an interview with Fox, he said the company wanted a pastry for the toaster. So they started work. But trying to get one test product through a 300-foot oven was not easy.
So we had a lot of scrap and debris going through the oven. We sorted them out and let all the debris go to the pig farmer. The pig farmer was the happiest guy in the whole deal.
And maybe Post's kids. They were 9 and 13 at the time, and he brought home test products for them. At first, they were not good. But just a few months later, the first Pop-Tarts hit the shelves in Ohio and sold out almost immediately. Post says he ate Pop-Tarts a few times a week until his death on February 10th at age 96.
The ones with more.
Next, another more infamous scientist, Philip Zimbardo, the architect of the Stanford Prison Experiment.
We wanted to ask the question, what happens if you take people, all of whom are good, normal, healthy, college students, intelligent, and we put them in a bad place?
So, Zimbardo simulated a prison in the basement of Stanford University. He paid college boys to be prison guards and prisoners for 2 weeks. He told the Scavlan TV show about the results.
On the first day, nothing happened.
The prison guards felt awkward in their uniforms.
But then, the next morning, the prisoners rebelled.
Suddenly, the students in the prison uniforms weren't classmates. They were dangerous prisoners, and the guards started psychologically demeaning them. Halfway through the experiment, Zimbardo invited colleagues to interview the subjects. The first one who came was a woman he was dating.
She starts crying. I said, "What's the matter with you?" She said, It's terrible what you are doing to those boys. They're not prisoners, they're not guards, they're boys, and you are responsible." And she runs out.
He stopped the experiment shortly after that, about a week early. Other scientists have questioned the ethics of the study, and its implications are still being studied. Zimbardo died on October 14th at age 91. Finally, a man who built a business to help other people build their homes.
Home Depot, Home Depot.
Bernie Marcus told Job Creators Network that he grew up in a fourth-floor tenement in New Jersey.
"We were poor. We had nothing. We had nothing."
On a walk around a different neighborhood, he decided that when he grew up, he wanted to live in a house with a porch.
"And I wasn't envious. I just said, how do they do it?"
So he went to school and worked various jobs until he was eventually put in charge of a home improvement chain, where he met his future business partner. The two were fired from the chain at the same time in 1978 and started planning. A year later, they opened the doors of a rival. The company is now one of the world's largest home improvement retailers, doing business in the U.S., Canada, and Mexico. Marcus died on November 4th. He was 95 years old. Reporting for World, I'm Mary Muncy.
A tribute to President Jimmy Carter, who recently died at the age of 100. For Radio Magazine, I'm Jim Henderson.